being here a little bit late due to traffic jam. We're at the Public Safety Educational Training Center at 410 West, 9800 South, third floor council, Sandy, Utah. Welcome, everybody. Apologize for getting late, but we're handling the traffic. So with that, the first matter on the agenda is the approval of the meeting minutes from January the 9th, 2024. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion, sir.
I have a motion from John Crowley to accept the meeting minutes of January 9th, 2024, and a second from Janetta Williams. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the approval of the minutes of January 9, 2024, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? They are approved. We now have introductions. Director Reese. I was also asked to, Chief Wade Carpenter was excused, Sheriff Nathan Curtis, Mayor Toy Walker, and Melina Stevens have all been excused from today's meeting.
Thank you. Thanks, Council. We have a couple new employees on the post team that I would like to introduce. If I could get Lieutenant Terry Buck and Investigator Reed Motzkus come up. I'll start with Lieutenant Buck at... I've got some notes here to tell you a little bit about him. So Lieutenant Buck is our new basic training lieutenant, replaced Captain Christensen after his promotion, and was selected by our committee, included Mayor Walker and Captain Crowley. It was very helpful. But I'll tell you a little bit about Lieutenant Buck. Really happy to have him on our team. He joined the Highway Patrol in 2012 after 20 years working in the automotive industry. Wide range of experience, including a field trooper in Salt Lake County, member of the DUI squad, and Bureau of Investigations as an agent, assigned to interdiction, asset forfeiture, and major crimes. Then he was promoted to sergeant over interdiction, and then later major crimes, and then promoted to lieutenant, and where he was assigned the community college section, which really stood out. He really excelled at his skill with interacting with our stakeholders and community partners. That was one thing that stood out in his interviewing process, that how well you did in that position. I can't find my place. And then moved from there to the Salt Lake County Field Section and the Motor Squad, and now he's here at Post. He's been married for 30 years and has two children, and holds a degree from BYU. And a master's degree from SUU. And also, if you stop by his office, he's very skilled at Lego sets that he does with his son. It's pretty impressive collection. I actually took a picture to send to some friends. But we're really excited to have Lieutenant Buck with us. And then I might slip up and call Detective Motzkus, or investigator, Lieutenant Motzkus, because I know Motzkus very well. He retired as a lieutenant from West Jordan, but we actually stole him from UTA, where after retiring from West Jordan, he went to UTA and quickly was promoted to sergeant and was sergeant over their training division when we convinced him to come over here as an investigator. Reed also has a wide range of experience, started in Tremonton, I believe, if I remember right. I'm going off memory here. And then spent over 30 years at West Jordan. He actually was one of my field trainers back in the 1900s. Extensive traffic experience, training experience. Was also an adjunct instructor at Post for about 30 years, focusing on firearms and tactics. And then supervised investigations, SRO divisions, and then was promoted to lieutenant. And one of the big reasons I was trying to recruit him over here was his experience in internal affairs. About 2012, when he was promoted to lieutenant, he revamped the West Jordan's internal affairs division and modernized it and professionalized it and to standards they're still using today. So just really happy to have these additions to the Post team. Thank you.
Okay, we will have yearly reports, Lieutenant Moore and Lieutenant Buck.
For January 1st to December 31st, 2023, investigations received 391 complaints, opened 141 investigations. We held two administrative hearings. We closed 28 cases with no action, received 21 voluntary relinquishments. We presented 46 cases to post-counsel. Six of those received revocations, 35 received suspensions, and five received letters of caution. We reviewed 1,393 applications. 1,168 of those were peace officers, 115 were waiver reactivations, and 110 were dispatcher applications. Any questions on yearly? I'll move on to the quarter. December 1st, 2023 to February 29th, 2024, we received 107 complaints, opened 50 cases, conducted two administrative hearings, closed nine cases with no action, received three voluntary relinquishments. Two were for possession of a controlled substance, and one was for DUI. Basic training applications, we reviewed 354, 37 dispatcher applications, and 23 waiver reactivation applications. We currently have 153 open investigations, and 135 of those are active. Any questions on those? Thank you.
Jenna Buck.
Good morning. The for the annual report in 2023, Post held 131 in-service programs covering 21. There were 3,040 officers and dispatchers who attended the in-service courses. For comparison, in 2022, Post held 146 in-service programs with 3,543 officers and dispatchers who attended the in-service courses. In 2023, Post held nine basic academy sessions. 315 individuals were certified as law enforcement officers. In comparison, in 2022, Post held 11 basic training academy sessions. 365 individuals were certified as law enforcement officers. And then the total number of new peace officer certifications issued by Post, including all satellite training programs, is 885 special function officers. 449 up from 304 last year, correction officers, and 564 law enforcement officers. The attrition rate at Post is 9%. For comparison, in 2022, the rate was 9.1%. For the quarter one of this year, we have three SFO and three special function officer and three law enforcement officer academies that began or finished. We had 55 of 58 graduate from the SFO, the special function officer, and 87 of 91 for the law enforcement officer programs. We do have three academies that will be beginning with a LEO block beginning on April 8th. For in-service training, we have, during this first quarter, we offered 35 in-service classes training, enrolled 885, and 17 dispatchers for a total of 524 hours of training. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. I've also been negligent. We have a new member of Post that I have not seen before, Chief William, who's also the president of the Chiefs Association. Welcome and thank you for being here. All right, 2023-2024 curriculum update. Looks like John is handling two duties today, so please.
Yes, I'm handling both. Chris was unable to be with us today, so I will be jumping back and forth. So thank you, Council. So just give you an update. Our curriculum, our annual curriculum review happens on the fiscal year coming up in July. So we'll be giving a more extensive report during that post-council. But just for your awareness, in this past year, we have worked extensively on our domestic violence, active shooter, and also working into professional communications, training, improving the critical thinking skills of our cadets, and working that direction. The update for this quarter for us is we are continuing our job task analysis. We've had a small collective of a different variety of officers and deputies from around the state that validated our large task list. So now we are working internally to break that down into a smaller group, and then we will be sending this out to the state for all officers, from chiefs to entry-level officers, to complete the survey to determine at what level of competency should a cadet have coming out of the academy, or if this is something that's reserved for FTO, the task, or if it's something that they should have before they even become into the profession. And then we'll also be asking the chief administrators the liability of the task. A lot of times we have low frequency, high liability tasks, and so that'll be also identified. And that'll help shape going forward our curriculum. So we're working on that job task analysis. The classes that we do have in, we are working to work into application and integration. So we're figuring out where we can apply in the academy through either tabletop exercises or reflective activities. We're working towards that application integration. I've reported to you last council that we were experimenting with Canvas. It's been successful here at Post with our classes, and so we are moving forward with that being the option for a statewide rollout coming up in July. Our instructor development program has been moving along. We are at the point where we are going to start beta testing. So before we go to any type of permanence with the program, we are going to pilot test a couple sessions here at Post with our staff, just to kind of work out some of the how it's going to work logistically and get the feedback from our initial pilot. So we'll be moving towards that in the next couple months, and we'll have something more definitive to bring to you in our next council. So that's all I have for that first agenda item.
All right. Looks like new curriculum committee member.
Yeah, so we have, we need a chief on our committee. So when we first set this up, we have Colonel Rappage was representing the state, and then Sheriff Sparks for sheriff, and then Lena Stevens and Miley Lou. But we need a chief that would be representative of the chiefs on the curriculum committee. And this will be more important because we really haven't done much with it, except our big review is coming up where we come up in July. According to state statute, Post Council has to approve the curriculum every year. And so this will be the big push this next couple months to work with the committee to come to Post Council prepared for a proposal and an approval.
And so you're looking for a chief to sit on the council with
yeah.
you. I see two
yeah.
that are present. Do we have a volunteer?
Mr. Vice Chair, if I could suggest that you can send me an email with what the time requirements may be, and we'll get the chief assigned to you.
Well, it need to be someone from Post Council.
Oh, it need to be someone.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to jump from the frying pan into the fire,
oh,
chief?
Man. Wait a second.
It's the curriculum committee. It's important.
I'm going to look across the way.
I'm happy to.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. It looks like Chief Swanson from Layton is your person.
That wasn't
okay. It's a committee member, so I think you put it on vote.
Okay.
Yes.
Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
And that would be?
I'll make a motion to appoint Alan Swanson to the curriculum committee.
I have a motion from Jared Garcia to appoint Chief Swanson to the curriculum committee. Is there a second? I have a second from John Crowley. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You're part of the committee, Chief.
House Bill 352 took me off another committee, so I have room.
We don't have much for desserts, but we'll take care of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Disciplinary cases, Mr. Yockey. So like the first matter is Jason Abrams. Is Mr. Abrams or his counsel present?
Okay.
Okay, the first matter before the council is the certification of Jason Abrams, currently with, formerly with South Salt Lake Police Department. Substantial allegation is a two counts of a BCI violation, which falls under category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 6 months. Post is recommending 9 months for the multiple offenses and also for the dissemination. Agency action, he resigned on 10-11 of 23, and this comes to us by way of waiver. Summary of the facts are as follows. Jason Abrams was investigated by his agency for BCI violations. The investigation discovered that Abrams' ex-wife had a new boyfriend and asked Abrams to check him out. Abrams accessed protected information related to the ex-wife's boyfriend to include his driver's license, warrants, and protective orders. In a separate incident, Abrams accessed the VIN number for his own vehicle and provided it to the insurance company. Abrams entered into a diversion agreement for the BCI violations under Utah Code annotated 5310-108-12A, a Class B misdemeanor. During Garrity interviews with his agency and post, Abrams admitted to accessing the driver's license information, warrant information, and protective order information on his ex-wife's boyfriend. Abrams also admitted to accessing the VIN number for his own vehicle and providing it to the insurance company. Abrams took full responsibility for his actions and said he made a mistake. Any questions?
Counsel, could you state your name for the record, please?
It's J.C. Jensen on behalf of Mr. Abrams, both of who is present. He'll address you shortly after I do. The facts of the facts, counsel. In full disclosure, I haven't reduced this counsel's minutes to a writing since 2023. So I do want this counsel to be consistent in your ruling, and that's what I'm going to be addressing today. I point this counsel to a January 13th, 2021, Jose Cabero, who's looked at for a BCI violation. This body issued a letter of caution. The facts of that case are that the individual accessed a protected record of a dispatcher he thought might his son might know. He didn't disseminate information. He participated in the post-Garrity interview. That was a letter of caution. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the wrong person. The mitigator in this case that I referenced for Jose Cabrera was that his wife approached him, and who was contacted by a male who she had a stalking injunction against. While she was reporting the incident, he accessed the wife's USCIS information and obtained the stalking injunction, and he provided that information to her. This body gave that individual a letter of caution. I point this body to the September 9th, 2020 matter involving Colton Johansson. This body issued a letter of caution. The aggravator in that case was there are multiple incidents, although the individual did not share the information. He accessed BCI on his ex-wife, ran her boyfriend, and he conducted two driver's license searches. Again, this body issued a letter of caution. I direct this body to September 9th, 2020, Elaine Franco, where this body issued a letter of caution. This individual disseminated the information that they obtained by through USCIS. A friend asked this officer to run a license plate. She did this, and she shared the information to a friend. The friend then put that information on Facebook. Again, if there's something that contradicts what I said after the June 2023 matters, I don't have it before me. I want this body to be fully aware of the limits of what I'm bringing to you. But I want you to consider the facts of this case, that 9 months suspension is a lot higher than what you've done before. And I just ask you to be consistent and deviate downward to a letter of caution. I stand for any questions. If not, Mr. Abrams would like to address you.
All right. So, I mean, I messed up. I know I did wrong. I know it wasn't okay what I did. I was fully honest with them, 100%. You know, in almost 20 years in law enforcement, this was the one thing that I really messed up on. It's the only thing that would have ended up in my file. And I, you know, I was honest the entire time through everything. I have an attorney because my chief and my lieutenant actually told me that I need to go get one. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I would have, you know, completely thrown myself at your guys' mercy or whatever you want to call it. you know, it is what it is. I did what I did, and I don't plan on doing it again. So, you know, I'm hoping you guys let me go back to work because I don't know how to do anything else. And I'm really good at being a cop. As a matter of fact, on my department, I have more commendations and more positive rights from, you know, all the way from awards from the mayor's office to, you know, medals of valor from my department. And, you know, my chief at the end, and I'm speaking for him, I could call him on the phone right now, and I'm sure he'll back me up. But, you know, he was frustrated that I did what I did, and you know, he was bummed he had to get rid of me. And, you know, I'd like to get back to work, if that's okay with you guys. So I'll take any questions. I'll answer anything you guys have.
Any questions from the council?
So since you resigned, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
What have you been doing since October 11, 23 till now?
So for the first couple of months, so I went through a really bad divorce. Went through a lot of counseling. I have custody of my 12-year-old daughter. My other three daughters are grown and out of the house. So I have her. I've been struggling to keep my house, keep my truck, keep my Harley. I can't lose that. But I filed a bankruptcy. It's embarrassing, but it is what it is. Didn't think I'd be 41 doing that. Like I said, trying to keep things amicable with my ex. You know, I couldn't find a job for like 2 months. Who wants to hire a fired cop? So that was tough. And then after that, I got a good job at Dyno Nobel, is what it's called. We mix explosive emulsion for mines. It's a decent job. They treat me pretty good. So, other than that, a lot of counseling, a lot of you know, stuff like that. It's actually kind of good for me because, you know, over almost 20 years in law enforcement, I never went to counseling and dealt with a lot of the crap that I had. So didn't realize I had some stuff I needed to deal with and been doing that too. So, I don't know, my body build. I don't know what else. That's about it. Try to keep myself as stress-free as possible.
Chief Swanson.
My question's for Post. In the previous cases that were mentioned by Mr. Abrams' counsel, do you know if those recommendations were also 9 months and that we as a body suggested letter of counsels, or if that's what Post recommended?
We're
in
looking
those
it up
cases?
Now. Rich, did you have
a chance? I have to pull them up. I do know on Jose Cabrero, there was an investigation and the investigating agency could not find a protective order. It was not provided to the wife, it was provided to the investigating officer who couldn't find it. That was recommended as a letter of caution because it was provided to law enforcement for a criminal justice purpose. And I had to catch the other names.
So it appears on the ones we have, it's 3 months on the other three. I know we've had a shift in the recent years. In regards to BCI, we were just trying to be, we had a shift where we went away from it, and then we've tried to refocus it back to getting back to the baseline. We did have a downward deviation just on BCI's thing, but Post Council has been everywhere on BCI violations, so.
That have received a suspension for a similar violation?
There are several that have received suspensions of 6 months.
Any other questions for Mr. Yockey, for Mr. Abrams, or his counsel?
Just one. So did the entered into a diversion on the criminal charge?
Yes.
So short of a conviction, but also a finding of
correct.
I'll make a motion.
Please.
I'd make a motion that we make an adjustment to a 6 month suspension and give him credit for the time that he's since his resignation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Colonel Ravitch to reduce the recommended discipline to 6 months, and it's been seconded by Miley Liu. Is there any discussion regarding that motion?
On the motion, are we talking the effective date of the resignation back in October last?
Yes.
Exactly. Before. When he stopped being a peace officer. Any discussion? Hearing none, all of those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Brody Brewer. Is Brody Brewer or his council president?
Just for clarification, sorry, one moment, Chairman.
Do we have that?
His admin date was like a week before, I think, right?
No.
We potentially have administrative leave, and so we just want to make sure we're correct on the dates.
Okay.
This was a separation date, and so we just want to make sure we're being correct on this. Can we table this just for, we'll come back to it after
Certainly.
We do the next matter. I will have my sergeant really quickly go back into the computer and check the administrative date, if you're fine with that.
That's fine.
Thank you.
So you're just tabling this, the date of effectiveness?
Yes, the date of effectiveness. That's all we're doing. I believe the motion is still, unless you guys wanted to set that aside, but we're just looking at the effective period. So if you're fine with that,
that's
counsel.
Fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Brody Brewer. Mr. Brewer is council president. All right. Mr. Yockey.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Brody Brewer, formerly with the Weber County Sheriff's Office, substantiated allegation as sexual conduct on duty, which falls under category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 3 years. Post recommends a 3-year suspension. The individual, Mr. Brewer, was terminated from his agency and separated on 5/10 of 2022, and this comes to us by way of waiver. Summary of the facts are as follows. Brody Brewer was criminally and administratively investigated for exposing his penis to a civilian staff member. Brewer was on duty at the time and working in the jail. Criminal charges were not filed as a result of this investigation. Brewer was found to be in violation of several Weber County Sheriff's Office policies, and his employment was subsequently terminated. In his post-investigation, Brewer admitted to exposing his penis to a civilian staff member while in the Weber County Jail for gratification purposes.
Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
Motion to accept.
We have a motion from John Crowley to accept the recommendation of a 3-year suspension. Is there a second? We have a second from Janetta Williams. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you. The next matter before the council is the certification of Aaron Bouget.
Mr.
And I believe
Bouget or his council president?
I believe in this matter, Mr. Bouget's council wanted to provide something before I present this.
Okay.
Thank you, members of the council. My name is Cameron Platt. I'm the attorney for Officer Bouget. I have two officers today that we would like to introduce information regarding some mental health issues, and so we would ask that you consider moving those items to the end of the agenda and closing the session just for the presentation of that information. You obviously could deliberate back in open session if that's acceptable.
Yeah, you're asking to put you later on the calendar, that's fine.
Thank you.
With that, I will move to the next matter. This matter, Bouget, has been tabled. And the other one was Mansurbigi?
Correct.
Okay, thank
What's
you.
What's the other one?
Mansurbigi.
Okay. So we're at John Gibbons Beverage?
That is correct. Certification of John Gibbons Beverage, formerly with the Provo Police Department. A substantiated allegation is falsification of a government record, and also...
Is he present or is counsel? Thank you.
And also a Garrity violation. This falls under categories A and D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is revocation, and post recommends revocation. And in this case, we do have an aggravating circumstance of multiple incidents. He resigned from his agency on 10/27 of 2022, and this comes to us by way of default. The summary of the facts are as follows. The Provo Police Department investigated John Gibbons Beverage, which I'll refer to as Gibbons from here on out, for submitting false reports. Provo Police Department determined the information in the reports were false by comparing the reports on the body to the body camera recordings of the incidents. During the investigation, Provo Police Department conducted a Garrity interview with Gibbons, who admitted that he knowingly included false information in the reports. During the interview, Gibbons also provided answers to Provo Police Department later determined that they were later determined to be false. Provo Police Department determined that Gibbons lied when he completed and submitted a report in another case. Provo Police Department used computer access logs to show that Gibbons started writing the report several weeks later, and he claimed to have completed and submitted the report. And he also, in that matter, provided those false statements regarding those reports in a Garrity interview.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion. Chief Swanson?
I'll make a motion to accept post recommendation for revocation.
We have a motion from Chief Swanson to accept post recommendation of revocation. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Chief William. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you. The next matter before the council is the certification of Arnold Hansen.
I got his date if you want to read it. Mr. Hansen or his next council president.
Currently with the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, substantiated allegation is a BCI violation. And I believe Mr. Crowley, I saw his hand go up. So
John Crowley has recused himself.
So BCI violation is a category E offense. Guideline baseline is 6 months. We are recommending a letter of caution. And in this matter, the mitigating circumstance, there was no dissemination. A summary of the facts are as follows. Arnold Hansen was investigated by his agency for a BCI violation. The investigation disclosed that on September 6, 2023, Hansen accessed his own and his wife's protected records through BCI. Hansen wanted to practice with the computer system to become more familiar with the system. Hansen ran the driver's license and warrant query on himself and his wife multiple times. Hansen did not disseminate any information. Instead, Hansen was just trying to become more familiar with the system. Hansen participated in BCI training on February 21st, 2023. No criminal charges were filed. During Garrity interview with Post and Duchesne Sheriff's Office, Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, Hansen admitted to accessing the protected records of himself and his wife. Hansen said he did not disseminate any of the information. Agency action, I forgot to mention, is he did receive a letter of reprimand, and it came to us by way of waiver.
Thank you. Mr. Hansen?
Thank you for hearing me out. I actually retired from the Department of Corrections as a supervisor in adult probation and parole. I've had a long career there, but I moved up to Duchesne County. I thought I was going to drive an oil truck, but I kept getting laid off. So the Sheriff's Department was nice enough to take me on, and I worked at the jail there. Pretty familiar with the procedures there. But this last summer, I was offered the position of school resource officer for the district. So I had some training there, but the thing is, as a school resource officer, has to be on the patrol deputy side, and I had to learn everything that a patrol deputy would do. The problem I had as an APMP agent, and I'm sorry to bring this in, but I had 20 years of experience on an internal system, which we call Field Track. And we often trained each other on looking up our own information and looking up the court systems and things like that. However, BCI is different. However, the only exposure I had while I was with the Sheriff's Department was at the jail as we looked up people's probable cause statements and any responses that the judge would have within the first 24 hours. Now that I was on the road, it was made abundantly clear to me that I call them felony stops, but now I was writing tickets and I had to get up right close to the perpetrator so I could see their license plates. This was something I wasn't familiar with. Well, I was told by my FTO that I needed to get better, and I needed to get better fast. So that night when I came back to my vehicle, because I was riding with him, I decided I would look up BCI and practice on myself. So I looked up myself three times. I looked up my wife. And then I think a few days later, I looked up myself again. I want you to know that when I was confronted with this on an audit from BCI, I readily admitted to it. You admit to things you do. But I would like you to know my intent. My intent was only to get faster and to do better. When I was brought into Garrity, they said to me, are you not aware that we have practice names like Yogi Bear? And I said, no, I'm not. So I would like to say that I did that because I was not made aware of alternatives that I could use. However, I do admit that I did the BCI training and I signed it, but I did it as a jail staff member and not as a deputy at the time. My department did an investigation on me, and they told me that I'd violated these principles, and also someone of my experience in the force should know better. I just finished my 25th year in law enforcement. So yeah, maybe I should know better, but I do apologize. Apologize for taking up the time of the court. I do appreciate the investigations that was done on me. That was thorough and it was humane. And that's pretty much all I want to say. And with whatever they recommend for me, I will go by that. I have been taken off the school resource officer position. I'm no longer a patrol deputy, and I am back in the jail now.
Were there any questions from the council for Mr. Hansen? Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Do we have a motion? Chief Swanson?
I think this body should always consider intent when we're allowed to, and which makes this case different to me than the first one that we heard. And so I would make a motion to accept the recommendation of post for a letter of caution.
We have a motion from Chief Swanson to accept post recommendation for a letter of caution. Is there a second?
We have a second.
A second from Sheriff Wimmer. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Nathan Johnson. Mr. Johnson or his counsel present?
Yes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Nathan Johnson. He was not employed at the time of this event. He has 1 year of service, and the substantiated allegation is discharge of a firearm in the direction of a specified items. This falls under category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 6 months. Post is recommending a letter of caution, and this comes to us by way of waiver. The mitigating circumstances, the reason we are deviating down from the 6 months to the letter of caution, is for an accidental discharge of the firearm. Summary of the facts are as follows. On February 19th, 2023, Johnson was investigated by a law enforcement agency for illegal discharge of a firearm. The investigation discovered that Johnson discharged an FNM 249 rifle with a steel core ammunition. The bullet penetrated multiple walls in Johnson's home and exited. The bullet struck the neighbor's house, which caused damage to the siding of the neighbor's house. Johnson was issued a citation at the scene. On April 4th, 2023, Johnson pled guilty to an amended charge of attempted illegal discharge of a firearm, which was reduced to an infraction during a Garrity. And then during a Garrity interview with Post, Johnson admitted he should have seen the live round in the rifle and should have triple-checked to confirm the rifle was unloaded.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time, and sorry to take up your time, but on this matter, I would like to say that, yes, anytime we look back at our mistakes as human beings, we like to, you know, look at things and be like, yeah, I could have done things differently. I believe that 100% everyone in this room has a mistake that they've made in their life where they could, if they could go back and redo it and do things differently, they would. This is one of the big ones for me. Especially because I'm a United States Marine Corps veteran and I was issued the M249 SAW in my time in the Marine Corps. And unfortunately, mistakes do happen. Unfortunately, the weapon did malfunction, which caused me not to be able to see the firearm or the live round inside the firearm. And I was doing maintenance on the firearm when it was discharged. And some of the other things that I would like to mention is that I took initiative, and I was the one who did call the officers to the scene. That was Layton PD. Called Layton PD, told them what happened. I was honest the entire time. Layton PD dispatched told me to leave the firearm where it was. Did that. The only reason I got an attorney for the matter was just because of the value of the firearm itself. And then once everything was said and done, I had my neighbor's house and my house fixed within the week. And because I took it as a serious matter, I went and took a hunter safety course online and in person. I then went to a USCCA concealed carry class for extra training, just to show the judge and everybody and the post counsel that I did take this matter seriously. It was a mistake. And if I could go back into the past, I 100% would change things that I did. Unfortunately, we are here. We are here now. And it is a big mistake, but that is the facts that I have to you today. And I'll take any questions you have. Yes, sir.
When did you achieve your certification in BCO and SFO?
That was June of 2022.
Any other questions for Mr. Johnson? Are there any questions for Mr. Yockey? Mr. Yockey, did you have anything further?
Hearing no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
Sheriff Plummer?
I'll make the motion that we accept the post's recommendation from Mr. Johnson.
We have
a letter of caution.
We have a motion from Sheriff Plummer to accept post recommendation of a letter of caution. Is there a second? We have a second from Janetta Williams. Is there any discussion regarding the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
I think we're skipping the next one, Mr. Yockey, and going to Jackson Marshall.
That is correct.
Is Jackson Marshall is counsel present.
Okay. And on this one, I would just like to note there is a letter from a supervisor attached at the back. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to review it. It was on the post portal, but I just want to make sure you guys had a chance to look at that. The next matter is the certification of Jackson Marshall. He was formerly with the Carbon County Sheriff's Office. Substantiated allegation is willfully falsifying information to obtain certification. This falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 2 years. Post is recommending the baseline of 2 years. Mr. Marshall resigned from the agency on 1/29 of 24, and this comes to us by way of default. Jackson Marshall, an SFO certified deputy with Carbon County Sheriff's Office, falsified his post application to obtain certification on August 23rd, 2023. Jackson Marshall answered no on his post application to the question, "Have you ever engaged in conduct that could have been investigated as a crime not previously identified as either a juvenile or as an adult?" During a polygraph examination, during a polygraph examination, which was conducted by a state agency background investigator, Marshall admitted to shooting wildlife from a vehicle while driving on a road, each of which is a Class B misdemeanor, in June of 2023. On January 18, 2024, during a Garrity interview with Post, Marshall admitted he intentionally omitted the criminal conduct on his Post application because he was concerned it would prevent him from attending the Basic Training Academy.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey? We have a motion from the council.
Yes, we do have a letter from the Sheriff Wood.
We had an opportunity to read the letter from Sheriff Wood. Do we have a motion from the council?
I move to accept post recommendation.
Motion from Sheriff Sparks to accept post recommendation of a 2-year suspension. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Colonel Ravitch. Is there any discussion regarding the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Gretchen McNeese. Is Gretchen McNeese or her counsel present?
This is the certification of Gretchen McNeese from the Salt Lake City Police Department, currently with them. Substantiated allegation is dishonesty and violation of department policy. This falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines, which is a baseline of 6 months, and POST is recommending the 6 months. Agency action was a 3-day suspension. Actually, she was separated from Salt Lake City Police Department, I apologize, on 4/20 of 23, and this comes to us by way of default. Summary of the facts are as follows. In January of 2022, Gretchen McNeese requested to take time off on July 4th of 2022. On March 10th, 2022, and on March 30th, 2022, McNeese received emails informing her request was denied. On June 30th of 2022, McNeese sent emails to her supervisors containing deceptive statements about her request, which implied her request had previously been approved when it had not. Salt Lake City Police Department investigated the incident and sustained the allegations that McNeese had violated city and department policy. On November 29th, 2023, during a post-Garrity interview, McNeese admitted multiple statements and her emails were deceptive.
Any questions for Mr. Gocke? Ms. McNeese or her counsel?
So with that request that I sent, prior to that request, I had received emails, and the first email said that you've got the third off because I asked for the third, fourth, and fifth. The second email they sent me said you've got the fifth off and you're next in line to have the fourth. So then some time passed, and I'm not good with dates and times, and I had forgotten that I had had the fourth off, so I planned a trip, and then I looked at my schedule 4 days before the trip and realized that I didn't have the fourth off. So I sent an email to my supervisors asking if I could have the fourth off and saying that I got confused by the emails that I received that I had had it off. And the supervisor asked me to provide those emails. I was unable to provide those emails because the secretary told me later that she's the only one that can provide those emails when I've deleted them. So then afterwards, I sent the supervisor a few hours later and told him what I thought the emails had said, which I just told you. And so then the holiday happened and they let me have the holiday off. And so in the interview that I did with Post, my intention was not to deceive or to lie. When I interviewed with the Post staff, I was very nervous, and I was I just felt like what I admitted is that my emails can be looked at as deceiving, and that's what I ended up telling them, that from another perspective, from the emails that I sent can be deceiving, and I was responsible for sending those emails. Since then, I've been working as a private investigator for a law firm, and I've also been working for JJYS. And I just received a new job that I started last week at Youth Services with kids in shelter care. I just never had the intention to manipulate or to deceive. I'm very sorry about all of this and how this has taken up a lot of people's time
which I did not intend when I sent that email in the first place.
Thank you. And from my perspective, we just asked that the post council consider the minor nature of the infraction, the 3-day suspension that she has separated from her employment with the city. She's not been employed as a police officer for almost the entire recommended range. So we would either ask that you consider reducing that range or at least give her credit for the time that she's been
council,
not working.
Would you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, sir. Cameron Platt.
Thank you.
Attorney for Gretchen McNeese. Thank you.
Just for follow-up in regards to the statements provided by Officer McNeese, just refer you to page 2 on the notice of agency action, the emails. So it's just above the count 1. The emails implied to her supervisors that her request had been approved, even though she thought it had been denied. McNeese admitted the following comments she wrote were deceptive, and this was during the Garrity interview. So I'd just like to refer back to that. Thank you.
There any questions from the council for Ms. McNeese or Mr. Yockey?
I just have a question for the council. You mentioned that she has not worked as a peace officer for almost the amount of time.
Yeah.
Our record shows she resigned in 4/20 of 23. Has she worked as a peace officer since that resignation?
Yeah, so maybe Ms. McNeese can clarify, but it's my understanding she worked as a reserve for a period of time within that?
No.
Okay.
No.
My mistake then.
The last date you worked as a peace officer was 4/20 of 23.
And that's the date we show on, I guess.
So would it be over?
Yeah.
And so with the 6-month suspension, it would be served as of if we impose that. Is that correct? Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept Post's recommendation of a 6-month suspension, suspension beginning the date that she resigned, 4/20 of 23.
We have a motion by Jared Garcia to accept Post's recommendation of a 6-month suspension. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second from John Crowley. Is there any discussion regarding the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're skipping the next one, is that correct, and going to Jake Stallings?
No, I believe we are going with Samisi Molia Kiola.
Well, I thought that one was...
The Mansur Bigi one, I believe, was Cameron. That was your other one.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a certification of Samisi Molia Kiola. I hope I didn't butcher that.
I'm not even going to try, but he's obviously present.
I practiced it a bit, so I'm hopeful. Molia Kiola, currently with the Weber County Sheriff's Office, substantiated allegation is disorderly conduct, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 3 months. Post is recommending a letter of caution, and we're doing this based on the mitigating circumstances of the criminal intent that I will explain in the facts. The agency action was paid administrative leave, and this comes to us by way of waiver. As provided in the facts, Samisi Molia Kiola intervened in an argument between other parties. One of the individuals then turned on Molia Kiola and put his hand in Molia Kiola's face. I'm going to switch over to Samisi because it's a little quicker. When Samisi tried to slap the individual's hand away, he also hit the person in the face accidentally. Samisi was charged with assault. Samisi pled no contest to a reduced charge of disorderly conduct. During a Garrity interview with Weber County Sheriff's Office and Post, Samisi admitted he accidentally hit the person in the face when he tried to slap the person's hand away from his face. The paid administrative leave was from 9/28 of 2023 to 11/28 of 2023.
Thank you. Any questions from the council for Mr. Yockey? Sir, would you like to make a statement? I'm not going to try your name. I'm going to butcher it.
It's okay. My agency called me Samisi because they can't pronounce my last name. I just want to say sorry for all parties that are involved in this matter. I wish I did have a better job of trying to intervene on this matter that happened this day, but it didn't happen that way. But I'd like to apologize for everybody's time today, and like to thank my my agency for supporting me this whole time that these things happened.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions for Samisi? I'm going to use that one.
There is a letter. That's the letter. Yes, so that's the letter I handed out while we were presenting. We just noticed it, and we apologize for the error of not including it prior. So,
has everyone had an opportunity to read it?
Did you get a chance to look?
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Yockey or Samisi? Okay.
Question.
Dr. Swing?
Can someone kind of help me make sense of how a slap turned into assault charges?
Without getting too much into detail, I believe it was because there was a juvenile involved, and so the individual put their hand up to the face and he slapped it away, and it's assault because there was a juvenile. So.
There are no injuries?
No.
Incurred?
From what we understand, no.
Any other questions for the council?
I do have one. Just Captain for clarification, Brown. You were breaking up an argument, or what was the deal?
Yes, there was a argument between the kids and another gentleman, which I didn't know either party. And the kids turned on me instead of the guy that was started the whole.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion? Chief Swanson?
In light of the circumstances, which include a letter of support from the sheriff, who's also president, I would motion that we go with a letter of suspension. I mean, a letter of caution, please.
A motion from Chief Swanson to accept post-recommendation of a letter of caution. Is there a second? We have a second from Sheriff Sparks. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Now we're down to Jake Stallings.
Yes. This is the certification of Jason Stallings. Jake, I don't know how I messed that up. That's Jake Stallings. So I have it
Jake
here.
Stallings or his counsel present.
Sorry, Jake, if you're present, I apologize. That was an error on my behalf. Formerly with the Twilla City Police Department, substantiated allegation of sexual battery, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. That is a three-year baseline. Post recommends three-year suspension. And Mr. Stallings was terminated on 12-22 of 2022. Summary of the facts are as follows. During an investigation of possible department policy violations, the Twilla City Police Department learned of potential criminal conduct involving Jake Stallings. Twilla City Police Department learned that Stallings intentionally touched the genitals of another officer over their clothing. The incident happened several years ago where Stallings grabbed the officer's genital and the officer confronted him but did not report the incident. Twilla City Police Department did not conduct a Garrity interview with Stallings. During a Garrity interview with Post, Stallings admitted to the conduct saying it was not meant to offend. Stallings said similar incidents have happened to him while he was been employed at Twilla City Police Department, and it was a common practice. Other Twilla City Police Department officers were interviewed during the investigation, and they said they were unaware of such practice.
Any questions from the council?
Record should note that Sheriff Wimmer is recused from this. Are there any questions from the council from Mr. Yockey?
Do we have a motion?
We have counsel, but he has nothing. J.C. Jensen on behalf of Mr. Stallings, but he has nothing to provide. So.
Thank you. No questions from the council. Do we have a motion?
I'll move to accept. We have a motion from Sheriff Sparks to accept post recommendation of a 3-year suspension. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Miley Liu. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Cameron Ward. Is Cameron Ward or council present?
And on this one, we do have a letter from a supervisor, just giving you a heads up on this one, that it's attached to the back of the notice of agency action. This is the certification of Cameron Ward, currently employed with the Utah Department of Corrections, adult probation and parole. Substantiated allegation is disorderly conduct, which falls under category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 3 months, and post is recommending 3 months for no aggravators or no mitigators. Agency action was unpaid hours of leave, and this comes to us by way of waiver. Summary of the facts are as follows. Cameron Ward was investigated by our agency for assault. The investigation discovered that on March 10th, 2023, Ward was at a local bar with a friend when her ex-boyfriend threw a drink on her while she was seated at a table. The ex-boyfriend immediately left the area of the bar and was located by Ward after a few minutes. Ward approached her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend, and struck him in the chest area. Security guards were immediately intervened and had her leave the premise. No criminal charges were filed. During Garrity interviews with her agency and post, Ward admitted to striking her ex-boyfriend in the chest after he threw a drink at her.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey?
Was it screened? It says no charges, but was it actually screened through prosecutor?
No.
At least we don't have those records. If counsel has additional records, then.
Michael Thornock for Ms. Ward. It's my understanding it was not screened.
Okay. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Michael Thornock.
Thank you.
So we believe a letter of caution would be more appropriate in this case. And we believe there are some mitigating factors. One, she was never charged. This body just issued a letter of caution for someone that was charged. The situation with her ex-boyfriend is actually a fellow officer who is also under IA proceedings at this time. I understand his actions are set for administrative hearing right now. So should she have acted differently? Yes. This was, for lack of a better term, a nasty breakup. She cooperated with every investigation, every interview. And I don't want to make a clarification on APMP's action. So she was given 16 hours of unpaid leave, but she was also on administrative leave from March 22nd, 2023 through May 22nd, 2023 for a total of 2 months. So she didn't have police powers during that time. She took an anger management class of her own volition. We provided that to post. We also provided a letter from her personal therapist of things she's been working on for her anxiety and to help her deal with that. So we feel that at this juncture, she's been back at work for several months now. Her supervisor's very happy with her, and we feel one more month, if she's granted credit for the admin leave she was on, that one more month would be superfluous. So we'd ask the body to issue a letter of caution, and she'd like to address the council.
Please, Ms. Ward.
Okay. First off, I would just like to say that I'm deeply sorry. Sorry. Sitting in front of you this early in my career is never where I imagined I would be, and it is truly humiliating. I know my actions were unacceptable, and I take full responsibility for my part in this. I am embarrassed by my lack of judgment that I did not just walk away when I should have. None of this behavior is in alignment with my character and who I am. This whole thing completely changed my life, and I'm a completely different person than I was a year ago when this all happened. I will continue to attend therapy and work on myself for many years to come, and I ensure a situation like this or anything even close will not happen again. I value this job more than anything, and I will do everything I can to prove that throughout the rest of my career. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the council, from Ms. Ward or her counsel? Mr. Yockey?
Just for a quick clarification point, we just, Post doesn't have any record of the March to May, so we're going to accept this record from Utah Department of Corrections, this letter from Supervisor Scott Stevens as that information. So.
Then, so it wasn't screened by a prosecutor. Was an outside agency called in to do interviews or outside involvement at all?
Yes.
Which agency?
Salt Lake City.
Okay. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Sir, like that, I could recuse myself from this.
The record should indicate that Jerry Garcia is recused from this matter. Chief Swanson?
In light of the facts, in fact, that an outside agency did come and elected not to screen it, and also due to the letter of support, I would make a motion that we go with a letter of caution.
We have a letter from Chief Swanson to issue a letter of caution to Ms. Ward.
Is there a second?
We have a second from Sheriff Wimmer. Is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Letter of caution.
Thank you.
Alexander Westerman. Westerman present for his counsel.
This is a certification of Alexander Westman, formerly with the Utah Department of Corrections. Substantiated allegation is disorderly conduct, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 3 months, and Post is recommending a letter of caution, and this is mitigating down. This is deviating down due to the elements of the crime issue that we have, which we'll explain in the facts. Mr. Westman was terminated from his agency on 10/31 of 2023, and this comes to us by way of waiver. Alexander Westman received a citation for criminal mischief for breaking a photo frame during an argument with his wife. When he appeared in court, Westman pleaded guilty to a disorderly conduct and in a plea agreement. Westman said that he did not intentionally break the frame and did not throw it at his wife. And initially, his wife said he threw the frame at her, but then she later wrote a letter to the prosecutor saying he only tossed it on the couch and it was already broken when he tossed it. Westman was still on probation when UDC learned of the charges. Consequently, Westman was terminated for his employment from UDC for violating policy against committing criminal violations. So it's because he was still on probation that he was let go. And those are the facts.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey?
Record should indicate that Sheriff Garcia
is recused from this matter. Do we have a motion from the council?
Sheriff Wimmer?
I'll make the motion we accept Post's recommendation.
We have a motion from Sheriff
Wimmer to accept Post's recommendation of a letter of caution. Is there a second?
A second.
We have a second from Captain Crowley. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Austin Wiley. Is Austin Wiley or his counsel present?
This is the certification of Austin Wiley, currently with the Utah Department of Corrections. The substantiated allegation is big game rule violation, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 3 months. Post is recommending a letter of caution, and the mitigating circumstance, the reason we're deviating downward, is due to the self-report, which will be explained in the facts. The agency action was a letter of reprimand, and this comes to us by way of waiver. Summary of the facts are as follows. Austin Wiley received a citation for killing an elk. Wiley only had a hunting permit for a spike elk, but the elk he killed had points on the antlers. Wiley admitted he killed the elk, but said that when he shot at it, he thought it was only a spike. After identifying the points on the antlers, Wiley contacted the DWR to report his mistake. Wiley then took the investigating officer to the location where he killed the animal for an investigation. Wiley pled guilty, no contest, to the charge, an infraction, and paid the court fine. Wiley participated in Garrity interviews with both Utah Department of Corrections and Post.
Thank you. Any questions of the council from Mr. Yockey? Mr. Wiley?
A
I'd like to thank everybody for allowing me to speak. It's kind of embarrassing. I've hunted all my life, and, you know, since I can remember, I've hunted with my family, and this is a lapse in judgment. As soon as I made the mistake and I was able to identify the animal as not within the parameters of the hunting license, I went and self-reported. I held myself accountable and wanted to make sure that it was taken care of the right way, and kind of went from there, made sure that I cooperated with any investigations or questions that were asked of me and was truthful and honest with them, and made sure that I continue to do the right thing with this situation. For the future, I will not be buying a spike elk tag, and I will be spending a lot more time behind glass to make sure that I'm making the right choice when I'm hunting and be a lot more cautious. I've been going over the big game rules handbook to make sure that I'm following all the statutes to make sure that there's not a future issue, because like I said, I've hunted all my life and it's embarrassing to make a mistake like this where it was a lapse in judgment and I should have spent a little more time. So
thank you. Are there any questions from the council?
Majority Garcia is recused from this matter as well.
Any questions from the council? Mr. Wiley, do we have a motion?
Post recommendation of a letter of motion.
We have a motion from Chief Wyman to accept post recommendation of letter of caution. Do we have a second? We have a second from Dr. Sweeney. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Council, Chairperson, I'd like to re-bring up the matter of the tabled matter of Jason Abrams.
Yes.
My investigator had an opportunity to go and identify the hours in which Mr. Abrams was placed on an administrative leave, and it appears it's from September 5th of 2023. And so with that, I don't know if that changes the motion before you, but I just wanted to make sure we had the correct information that is being brought before the council. So that if September 5th, it would be March 5th if it was 6 months. And so we had a 6-month suspension that was recommended by the council. So you deviated from our 9-month recommendation. We have a 6-month that was voted on, and we were just trying to identify when that time period would begin. And so
effectively it's run.
Correct. If you accept the 9-5 of 2022.
Motion to accept that date. We have a motion from Colonel Ravitch to accept that date, 9-9-23. Second. Was it
9-5 of 2023.
Is there a second?
We have a second from Sheriff Wimmer. Is there any discussion regarding the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're back to the two that we closed. We're going to close on, is that correct? And I think we have to close on each one separately.
So it's not closed because Post is still going to present.
You're not going to present closed information, correct, Mr. Yaffe?
I have no intent to do so. How do you want me to proceed? Do you want me to proceed with?
It should proceed with the allegations from Post. And then once we get to the part where there is going to be the discussion of closable information, then
Council Chairperson, do you want me to present both of them at this time so we can discuss both in a closed session, or do you want me to
present separately?
With that, I will proceed with Aaron Bouget.
Is Aaron Bouget or Council present?
And just place this on the record. This is certification of Aaron Bouget, currently with the Salt Lake City Police Department. Substantiated allegation is dishonesty in violation of a department policy. This falls under category E of the post disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 6 months, and Post is recommending 6 months due to no mitigators or aggravators. This comes to us by way of default. Summary of the facts are as follows. Aaron Bouget was investigated by his agency for being dishonest in violation of department policy. The investigation disclosed that on June 3rd, 2022, Bouget had fallen asleep while on duty and lied to his supervisors by saying he was at a local convenience store. After being confronted by his supervisor, Mouget told his supervisor he had lied and had, in fact, fallen asleep. During Garrity interviews with Post and his agency, Bouget admitted that he had fallen asleep on duty and lied to his supervisor about it. Bouget said he initially panicked, but later admitted to his supervisor that he had lied.
Before we go into closed session, are there any questions of Mr. Yockey?
And we do need to have a motion and a second and a two-thirds vote, and a, I guess not two-thirds, sorry.
Do we have a motion from the council to close the session?
Well, for, you have to state the reason you're going to close it.
Yes.
So it'll be on them to state the reason that they want to close.
Council, would you state your name for the record, please, on this matter and why we need to close?
Yes, Cameron Platt for Officer Boucher, and the reason that we're requesting is for the discussion of the mental health of an individual.
Thank you. Do we have a motion from the council to close?
Motion to go into closed session to discuss mental health issues.
We have a motion from Colonel Brackage to close to discuss matters in private. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second from Jared Garcia.
By name. By name vote.
By name vote. Okay. So we have to go around the table?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion first? All right. Dr. Sweeney?
Vote to close.
Chief Swanson?
Vote to close.
Sheriff Sparks?
Aye.
Miley Lou?
Vote to close.
Captain Crowley? Colonel Rappich?
Aye.
Jared Garcia?
Aye.
General Williams?
Yes.
Brian William?
Yes.
Sheriff Boomer?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Okay.
John?
John, anything more, Mr. Yockey?
Nothing from the from Post.
All right. Mr. Platt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to add onto the record that Officer Boucher was given 1 week off without pay. His agency has indicated that they wish to continue to employ him. He is currently employed there. His disciplinary history is non-existent before this incident. And we're not asking the council to find his actions justified necessarily. We're just asking them to consider the circumstances and the mental health challenges as a mitigating circumstances for this one incident. He has taken responsibility with his agency and with Post. He was fully honest and disclosed his wrongdoing. And so we would ask that you consider reducing the recommendation to 3 months. If he gets a recommendation of 3 months, his agency would be able to continue to employ him. If he gets longer than 3 months, they would have to separate his employment.
Thank you, sir. Sheriff Wimmer.
I have a question for Officer Boucher. The one thing that I can't get my head around right now is if I call a deputy over the radio and I'm going to take what he tells me at face value, what's your theory on why they question your story of being in the convenience store? I mean, the record, you say your disciplinary record is spotless. You know, there is none. But something told them something's not right about your story when you presented that you went to the convenience store. What do you think that was?
I don't think the sergeant that I was currently working with at this time, I'd only been working under him for a month, and there was a lot of rumors floating around, and I had to make a schedule change to help with situations going on. I was going through at home and stuff, and so, but I don't know that he, what issues he had about me, but the squad that he was on, the rumor is the squad that he was on, he got pushed out from because of how he was dealing with his own employees, or his own squad. And the squad that I was on at the time that this all occurred, we were a veteran squad because we've been on for so long, and he's got one of the shifts that with the weekends off. So he's usually, that's usually all the veterans, people seniority pick. But even now, like, he has the same shift. and he doesn't have any veterans on his squad. He's got like a bunch of newer officers because I honestly can't speak to why there's a lot of people just don't like to work for him, and because of how he is. I have no idea why he is the way that he is, essentially.
Did he ever question anything else you had told him? Had he ever questioned anything else? You've never given him a reason to mistrust anything you've said, or has he ever caught you in a misrepresentation prior?
No, I've never worked for him or really even around him. I did work with him a little bit while he was still in patrol. But he had left patrol and he'd been in other divisions in the department, so I'd never worked with him before in that capacity. And I would like to add, actually, that when we went to the precinct to meet with him and the watch commander actually, he stated that he thought that the situation could just be handled right here and move past, but he left it with my sergeant to make the ultimate decision. So
I kind of want to make more of a comment, but I don't know. I often wonder, and I've seen this throughout my career, where sometimes our departments, we put our supervisors, specifically first line supervisors, can put somebody in a really tough position. And we've seen this happen where we ask them a question, we put them on the spot. I've seen over the years where we make them write a memo about something that's not even, and then they write details that aren't even related to the incident that we're looking into. And so I wonder if sometimes we create some of these challenges. I'm not in any way defending dishonesty, but I just think we need to be mindful of that. And I ask myself how many of those situations occur where then the person comes clean, they get placed under Garrity, they're honest, and those situations never even make it to post counsel. It just feels like sometimes we can create the problem. So if there aren't any other questions, I'll make a motion, but I'll
see. Just to clear up this question, under the facts, and this has to be the timeline, the facts say that this happened on June 3rd, 2022, but under count one, it says 2023. So we're talking about almost 2 years ago or almost a year ago, which is it?
Yeah, it should be a typo.
So that's a clerical error. So it would be June of 2022. Yes.
You'd like to make a motion?
In light of the number one, the timeline, almost 2 years ago, also in light of the fact that the agency took action and gave him 4 days off unpaid, took care of it, and kind of concurring with what you just said, he's still working. His agency wants him to work. They've investigated it, they've punished him. I would make a motion that this body just issues a letter of caution.
We have a motion from Chief Swanson
to reduce the recommended discipline to a letter of caution for Officer Bouchard. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Janetta Williams. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm opposed.
Sheriff Sparks is opposed, the record should indicate. Anyone else opposed? Letter of caution passes.
Thank you. Please do.
All right. The last one, Mr. Yonke, and I'm going to allow you to slaughter that name.
So in regards to Saeed Sherwin Mansourbegi, Mr. Platt has just informed me that we will not be going into he will not be requesting a closed session on this regard,
right,
in this matter.
Please proceed.
So I will proceed. This is a certification of Saeed Sherwin Mansourbegi, formerly employed with the Salt Lake City Police Department. The allegation is, substantiated allegation is assault, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 2 years, and post recommends the 2 years for no mitigating or aggravating circumstances. The officer resigned on 5-2 of 2023, and this comes to us by way of waiver. Summary of the facts are as follows. Saeed Sherwin Mansourbegi, a certified peace officer, punched a handcuffed subject after the individual spit at Mansourbegi. Mansourbegi punched the subject several times, including while the subject was on the ground. Mansoor, just to note that the subject was in handcuffs at the time this occurred. Mansoor Begi admitted he punched the subject and felt he used unreasonable force. Mansoor Begi said he responded as a person and not as a peace officer, and he said he had been trained to respond differently. So the individual was in handcuffs and was being escorted out of an area and was struck multiple times. So those are the facts presented by Post. We do have paid administrative leave on 12-16 of 2022.
And he was charged, Mr. Yaki?
Yes. Charged and pled.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Blatt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to clarify on the facts that the Officer Mansoor Begi's reaction that preceded the punching the suspect is the suspect spit blood in his face twice. So there were five punches in total, two of which were initially as a reaction to get the suspect to turn away or distance himself. And then the three that are issue, I believe in this case, are the three after he was prone on the ground. And the officer admitted to his agency when they investigated, he admitted to Post that those three were a continuation of the emotional response to having blood spit in his face. I'm sure all of you can recognize the hazard and the threat that poses to the officer to have blood spit in their face and the resulting risk of communicable diseases. So Officer Mansoor Begi recognized and has taken responsibility that his emotional reaction got the best of him. He pled guilty to the charges. It was a reduced charge, but he did plead guilty to those. He resigned from the agency. He accepted his punishment. He's not trying to escape responsibility for this. But he is asking for you to consider the events that precipitated him punching the suspect. He is not employed in law enforcement. It's one of the reasons he couldn't be here today. He couldn't schedule work off because he's a over-the-road truck driver now, and so he couldn't make the time work with his work schedule for today. Based on that, we're asking that you consider reducing the 3 years to 18 month. He's been off since December 16th, I believe.
May 2nd. 2 years, Mr. Platt. I think it's 2 years.
We have 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Too many cases today. That you'd reduce that to 18 months. It would essentially mean that he could reapply in 3 more months, approximately, based on the date that he resigned from Salt Lake City. I also want to just give you some background. In the year preceding this incident, the officer was involved in a officer-involved shooting. He was cleared of any wrongdoing in that. He was also a backing officer on an in-custody death. Both officers were cleared of any wrongdoing. And it's my belief that due to those incidents, he likely suffers from some post-traumatic stress issues. If you look at the timeline, the in-custody death was in January of 22. He had a use of force complaint that was not sustained in September of that same year. And then this incident occurred in December. And just given that close approximation of those times and the critical incidents that he was involved in, it seems likely to me that he was suffering from some post-traumatic stress disorder. He has sought counseling after this incident and is currently in treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder treatment. Thank you.
Any questions from the council for Mr. Platt? Then we'll get to Mr. Yacht. Thank you.
Yes. Is there any sentencing information on the charge?
So he pled and was given 1 year of probation.
Mr. Yockey?
And just for clarification in regards to the spit, Post does recognize that he spit at Mr. Mansoor Begi, the subject did. He was the officer behind holding the handcuffs, and the individual turned his head. So it wasn't a direct face-to-face. It was a turn the head. So just for clarification on those facts.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Does the council have a motion?
Can we ask more questions?
Certainly, Dr. Swing.
Is it common, I'm just asking the body, is it common for those first two blows? It sounded like it was five punches total, all while cuffed.
No.
I just wanted to confirm. Thank you. Okay, no. So five blows total. Okay.
Good answer.
And the three were after being spat on.
No, so all of the contacts by Mr. Mansoor Begi were after he was spat on. So the individual spat once, he had blood coming from his mouth, and then
Walked a few more paces, spat again, turned his head and spat again, and that's when he was taken to the ground, and Mr. Mansourbegi contacted him 5 times.
Thank you. Any other questions from the council?
Was there video footage of this, and if so, did Post investigators watch it?
Yes, so there is a video of it. We do have body cam from a few different angles, from Mr. Mansourbegi and from a few different angles. Post investigations did watch it as well as I watched it as well. So,
any other questions from the council, Mr. Hawk or Mr. Platt? Do we have a motion from the council?
I'll make a motion. I make a motion that we accept the 2-year suspension, beginning the date of the paid administrative leave being 12/16/2022.
We have a motion from Jared Garcia to accept Post recommendation of a 2-year suspension. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Miley Liu. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Can I just make a comment?
Certainly.
I know we're looking at the recommended discipline here. To me, these are the kind of things that kind of shock the conscience. Personally, I don't think... I'll be in favor of the motion, but when we have an officer that acts and assaults an individual that's already in custody, I've been spat on. It wasn't blood, but I've been spat on, and my reaction was not the same as this. Every circumstance is different, but I think that we need to really take a close look at these, especially when this is something we're trying to step away from. This is something that we really have. A public perception problem in the past. I think we've made great strides to correct this, and this just we just step back when something like this happens. So that's just my comment.
Thank you. Colonel Ratch.
I would agree, and to that point, often when we look at the recommended actions, we look at aggravating and mitigating circumstances, and we really haven't addressed aggravating circumstances. Had he slapped him, that would have qualified as assault. He punched him 5 times, 1 to 2, 3 times after he was already on the ground. I think that actually qualifies as 5 aggravating circumstances, and I would be in recognition of an upward deviation on this.
Can I make a substitute motion to Jared's motion? Certainly.
That would be move up to a 3-year suspension based on the 2 strikes while he was handcuffed, up, then followed up by 3 once he's on the ground with other officers and handcuffed. That's aggravating.
We have a motion from Captain Crowley to increase the recommended discipline to a 3-year suspension. Would you accept that?
I would accept that, yes.
Do we have a second to Captain Crowley's motion of a 3-year suspension?
I'll second.
We have a second from Chief Bloom. Is there a discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you. All right. With that, are we at legislative update, Mr. Yockey? I would suggest we take a break, but I think we're pretty close to the end, unless we have a lot more.
So I'll be brief.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Yockey, do you expect to take very long?
No.
Okay.
It'll be very quick.
I'm trying to decide whether the council needed a break, but I think we'd rather drive on through. Hands go up or see hands go up. All right. Thank you.
So this will just be very quick. There's only 4 bills that impact post-council that were passed this last legislative session. The first and the largest one, we'll have a quick discussion on this. There is a letter that's going to be sent out by Director Reese in regards to this. I think to the delight of many peace officers here, HB 102 is passed regarding the training requirements, which now puts the training requirements essentially back to the law enforcement agency, the respective agencies. They're still required to do the de-escalation and arrest control, but the other categories that fell under the 16-hour purview are done every 3 years. And that was due to a lot of discussion we had with Post and a lot of other bodies where we didn't want it to be white noise. We didn't want the training to essentially be done every year, and then you just keep getting the same thing over and over. So HB 102 was, all I do is just have some of the language up here. Just beginning of July 1st, 2024, all peace officers shall engage in that that training. So if you have any questions, please refer to the letter that's coming out from the memorandum that's coming out from Director Reese. Do you have any additional comments to that, Director?
No.
Okay. So pretty quick on that one. The next one was House Bill 322. This is a post-council model policy. So we get another model policy for the post-council. We already have a few. We have our canine model policy. We also have our use of force model policy. So this will be another one. We will need to form a subcommittee. What this does is, in consultation with the Utah Victims Service Commission, the subcommittee on rape and sexual assault created under subsection 63M-7-903, and create, if necessary, an annually update a model sexual assault investigation policy based on the best practices. So that is another thing that we're going to have to create a subcommittee on. I'll let you guys address that in a bit, whether it's this council or whether it's next council meeting, because it does not go into effect until May 1st. The next, and just for note, all of these go into effect, except for House Bill 102, that went into effect immediately. The other ones go into effect May 1st. House Bill 336, public safety amendments. What we did on this is very, very simple. We added the term United States national before. What we did is we allowed lawful permanent residents, but for some reason we didn't allow U.S. nationals. It only affects a very few select individuals, individuals from the island of America, Samoa, and the Swains Island. So it is very few people that affects, but we have had a few applicants, so we wanted to address that. The other thing it added was the word conviction under 53.6-11, which is the disciplinary actions that you guys take. This solves an issue that we had in regards to our inability to take action prior to getting a conviction, and a raised judicata issue, that it just resolves an issue that we had. So by having it, we can either take action based on the conduct or a conviction, and it just solves an issue for us. But it's a very minor change. The last one is House Bill 370. In this case, all we did is remove the addiction from the dispatcher. So 53.6309. Before, we had both in the peace officer and in the dispatcher, we had an ability, post-council had an ability to suspend or revoke a license, a certification based on an addiction to alcohol or controlled substance. We removed that from the peace officers a few years ago because we were just using the criminal statutes, and this just rectifies the matter on the dispatcher. So it's the same. Any questions or concerns? Those are the four that impact post-council.
Looks like we're good. Thank you, Mr. Yockey.
Thank you.
Director Reese.
Thanks, Council. A few things to go over. One, I wanted to start off with since I've been here, been very grateful for the cooperation amongst all our stakeholders on getting some of those things done, especially in the legislative session. It really stood out. I specifically wanted to recognize Chief Gwilliam, and he stepped out, and Commissioner Anderson for the work and their efforts on getting HB 102 through. I think it was very helpful. I think all the agencies recognized the benefit of that, and And even the governor had a town hall with all the department heads in the fall, and essentially after listening to the chiefs and sheriffs, I was directed on, we need to do something about this. And Chief Gwilliam spotted the opportunity and modified the bill. It was originally proposed by FOP, that actually we reached out to them, and they were very cooperative in letting us hijack that bill and make those changes. And I think that's going to be, just to be clear, we know we're not doing away with training or minimizing it. It was just that now that everyone and every, we could say that every officer in the state had that training, it was no longer to require the same standard. It just gave the departments a little more flexibility to be efficient with their valuable training time and money at still very important topics, but now we can address them appropriately. Some examples of how much time certain positions would never see some of those cases or be involved in those circumstances, and they were having to spend a lot of hours on it, and now we can make it a little more common sense approach. So again, I'm very, very grateful. Chief, you missed. I just was thanking you in public for all your help on that. And again, I'm very grateful for just collaborating with the different agencies and the council. It really helps us as we move forward and we make decisions. I really enjoy having everyone's input and support. And then just because we just wrapped up with our investigations, I also wanted to call out Marcus and Lieutenant Moore and the investigative team. If you saw the work that they put in to prepare for this, again, one of the things that has really stood out and impressed me is the process and the thoroughness and the effort they put in to make sure that we are ready and presenting you guys with accurate information. And they do an outstanding job. So thanks, team. It gives me confidence and makes my job much easier. So thank you. And then an item of business, Utah State University Eastern Satellite Academy. Sean Adley, I don't believe he's here. He was going to be here. The director of that academy has requested authorization to add a dispatch academy to his program. We met with the dispatch. He has a need down in his area that he feels he could support for more dispatchers getting certified. We met with the dispatch committee, and they supported that. And we just need council's permission to authorize that.
Do you need a motion?
Yes.
Director, do we have a motion? We have a motion from Chief Swanson to authorize a satellite academy in the Eastern District of Utah for USU. Do we have a second? Second from Sheriff Sparks. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
That's awesome.
That's done.
Thank you. One last item, and again, it's really some recognition and brief you on a situation. When I was assessing some of the strengths and weaknesses of POST as I was looking at coming over here or coming into it, I viewed it as a weakness originally, and it was our heavy reliance on adjunct instructors. We run a very skeleton crew of full-time staff here at the academy and rely heavily on adjuncts. And being an adjunct and involved over the years, ideally I thought would be better, but six, seven, 8 months into this now, I've rethought that, and we've evaluated options and realistic our performance objectives. I actually think it's a smart strategy that we should continue on. I think it's efficient, it's cost efficient, we're getting the biggest bang for our buck. It also keeps our training relevant, and we have instructors regularly rotating through from various agencies with fresh examples and fresh insight of what's going out there in the field. Having said that, I think that's definitely the model we need to continue with moving forward. But paying decent salary for those adjuncts is always a challenge. But in comparison to going to full-time employees, it's a bargain. So over the years I've watched as an instructor and had to balance my commitment to POST and the mission of POST and versus also answering to my family for my time and where I'm spending it at getting looked at sideways by your spouse when you're working your day off to go teach at the academy at a lower rate than you could work in an overtime shift at your department can be challenging. I wanted to specifically, our team put together some numbers. Captain Newland did a lot of research, gave us the data, and we were able to present that to the commissioner. It was a cycle where we were getting on the low end, and the commissioner could see the issue, and he took a bold move and immediately authorized us to initiate a pay increase that now puts us ahead of every other satellite, and it's much more compatible. It was greatly appreciated by the adjunct instructors. It also benefited us as Many times when we can't fill those positions, investigative team is having to fill in and teach more instead of investigating cases, which again, our number one goals is to decrease our investigative time. And so I wanted to let you know our strategy and that it's moving forward. And I really wanted to publicly thank the commissioner because he actually authorized us to do it before he knew for sure he had the money and they could find the money. And it was really helped us in the mission of POST. So that's all I had. Any questions?
Looks like we don't have any. Thank you, Director.
Looks
like the last thing on the agenda is to schedule our next meeting. I understand that Wade Carpenter, it looks like effectively we're in the last week of June, the fourth week of June. Is that going to be a problem for everyone or anyone?
What was the date one more time?
First week in June.
So it'd be the week starting of the 24th.
The 28th.
Is it 27th, Thursday? Just throwing it out there.
Works for me.
I can do the 27th.
That's good.
27th? June 27th. All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A second. Second for Wiley Lou. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.